1990, Parkersburg, West Virginia. My name is Jackie Ellis. I am the West Virginia Al-Anon archivist. Today, I am acting as moderator for a panel of Al-Anon long-timers, people who have had 25 years or more of Al-Anon. I'm going to ask these people to introduce themselves. Number one.
I'm Arlene McClain from Parkersburg.
All right, number two.
I'm Jean Kelball from Parkersburg.
And number three.
I'm Noreen Knapp from Parkersburg.
Okay, these girls and I have been here. We have just signed a release that this material can be used. And so we're just going to start talking about Al-Anon. Why don't I start with you and say your name and then tell a little bit how Al-Anon was when you started.
Oh, well, I'm Arlene McClain, and my husband was in treatment, and when he was released, Sister Ignatia talked to me and recommended I attend Al-Anon. I didn't know what it was about. I thought it was to help my husband keep him from drinking. I didn't know that it applied to me. But in reading the literature which we had, it wasn't concept proof, but it was helpful, but still we needed some help.
Okay.
And it took a while before, and we received the help from various individuals who had been in Al-Anon for quite a while.
Okay. Would you like to tell a little bit about when you started? Say your name, please.
I'm Noreen Knapp, and I started in 1950 in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And my husband's sponsor said he was going to help me, and he told me to go to the family group where Al-Anon had been formed. And they were 23 women, and they used the same format as we use today in Al-Anon. And they were very gracious people. And then we left Michigan, but anyway, I brought with me the Hazelton literature, the little brown book, and just for today, in the next 7 or 8 years, that kept me hope that there's something was coming, and I knew that we had help. And then the next meeting I went to was in 1961, late part of 60, and that was in Parkersburg, West Virginia, and it. From what I can remember, I think we paid dues, but I don't know where we had any Al-Anon real literature, if we'd got any yet. But I think that lasted about 3 or 4 years. Then we didn't have Al-Anon until 1970, and we met at a Dodden Clinic for the first meeting. The next meeting we met at St. Paul's Church, and a minister helped us and told us to get another building. So that was in 1970, and August the 28th, we still have our meeting at Good Shepherd Church. No, not Good Shepherd,
Lutheran Street, Lutheran Church.
Lutheran, 19th Street for Lutheran Church. And it's been 20 years, be this August the 28th.
Okay, I'm Jean Kelball. My husband came into his program in 1960, and I remember I had told him he belonged in AA, at the time, and he did finally keep going, and he said, now, they're nice people, and you'll enjoy it, and I thought, So I went to meet these people, and they were talking about the drunks before, and the drunks, all these drunks, and I thought, I don't want to listen to this stuff. I wanted to get on with living and enjoy life, and
I thought, well, they're just hating over this stuff. I didn't enjoy it. But anyway, we did enjoy his program, and I was told that we were going to go to Founders Day. And there, I was introduced to Al-Anon. And I remember Bill W. I do not remember love. My memory is not that good. But anyway, we came back from Founders Day, and we did have some people come in from Cleveland at the First Federal Bank, and we had our first Al-Anon in Parkersburg. And I remember Jack M. and his wife, Lucille, and Okie and Viola D. was the people that we went to Founders Day. We were all involved in this, getting this two stars. And so my first recollection is the meetings at the First Federal Bank building, and then I think it was a doctor's waiting room. That's my recollection. And then the next I remember is that we did go to the Good Shepherd Church, and there were several ladies that became members of Al-Anon there, and we attended every Thursday evening, and I enjoyed it, but I was very young at the time, and a lot of these ladies were a lot older than I, and I kept thinking, I'd like to talk about the children, you know, the problems I'm having with the children, or, intimate things, you know, and I was afraid to bring them up because I was so young. And we did not have Al-Anon literature as we do today, but I thank God that we had the slogan. I live by the strength of prayer and the slogans. I learned to let go of my children, and it took me a lot longer to let go of my husband. I've been around the program for a long time, and I was in the Al-Anon program there for 4 years, and like Noreen said, it broke up, and we did not start again until 70. And I got involved again back in, when it started on the 19th Street Lutheran Church, and it's been active. But you know, back when we had our Thursday group, there was a conference or a assembly in Parkersburg, and I remember we had a dinner, a banquet. Oh, it was beautiful. I remember the sun shining through those windows down at the Trinity Church, and all these people came from Charleston and Huntington, and I was the chairman, and I don't know how I ever got. I was so timid and scared, didn't know what I was doing. I had to introduce the speakers and in charge of all this, but it was beautiful. I remember there was a lot of people, and I remember how the all the people, they just appreciated it so much, and it really was a beautiful thing, and I couldn't believe that I was doing it, but I did.
Yeah, what year was that?
That was sometime between 61 and 64. I have no idea what the date was. I have no records of it.
And West Virginia was having an assembly at that time?
In Parkersburg. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they met at the Chancellor Hotel.
I think it was a big group. Meeting there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big group, I remember. I mean, you know, it was like, back in those days, that was a big group. They had 150, 200 people.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything about the formation of Al-Anon Assembly or anything in the state, any of it?
Well, Noreen and I remember going to the first conference.
The dinner we had, yeah, that's right.
It was lunch.
Yeah,
it was. Let me ask you this, Arlene. A while ago you mentioned Sister Ignatius. Your husband was in treatment where she was.
Yeah, at Rosary Hall. Mm-hmm. And when Penny was released,
and she wanted to talk to me. And she was a very outspoken person. But now looking back, I see where I really needed the program. I didn't know that Al-Anon was for me and me alone to work, not bring others into it and work on myself. But I'm glad she recommended Al-Anon. I did go, went on, proceeded to go to the first meeting of the Church of the Good Shepherd. And I felt there was something there that I needed, but I couldn't find it. And our attendance varied. Sometimes we'd have a good turnout, and then the following week maybe two or three would turn up. And I don't know how long the group lasted, but it was pondering.
I'd say it was at least 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the beginning, we had quite a few when I went down Thursday. And, you know, I've heard so many remarks that Al-Anon talk about the husband. We didn't know what we were doing. We were crawling,
mm-hmm.
and we had to learn that way. And probably they did. That's all they knew. They didn't know. We didn't have any literature or anything. So, and that was all we sang about was her husband. Because I was just as damn bad as he was. When he got in AA, I was really sick. And I couldn't think of anything else but to get him sober. And I could never say, hell, I couldn't get him sober. But then when he got sober and he got AA, I knew I needed something. And when I come to Al-Anon, I come for Noreen the last time. Because I knew my husband had it. But before that, I was trying to get an AA for him. But when I come the last time, I knew I was coming for Noreen. Because I really wanted what he had. And I couldn't get it in AA because I wasn't alcoholic. But I really feel sorry for those women at that time. And maybe I talked too about my husband because that's all I had thought about. I didn't have anybody else talk about it. Nobody else understood me that stress going downhill. And you couldn't go talk to your family because they didn't understand. And I knew my husband was ill. So when I came down on, I was wanting women to tell me how to help my husband. And maybe they did talk about their husbands. They probably did. But I don't know, I must have learned something.
Well, at least you found somebody that understood.
That was a relief to know that there was another person there. And the first meeting I ever went to in my life in AA, I thought my husband, nobody in the world could have been like my husband. And I heard that lead, I heard my husband's story. And I thought, oh, there's hope. You know, then that's when it's sold. In fact, I had more AA before I had Al-Anon. And I studied their literature, but see, I was, then after he got the program, and I couldn't stand up and say I'm an alcoholic, because I wasn't an alcoholic, but I believed in everything they believed in. And then when Al-Anon came along, that was really my goal. I mean, I wanted that. But I had, even after he sobered up, I had a terrible time getting Al-Anon, and I think my husband helped me more. He told me, I never forget, I'll go to a meeting, and I just read, and see, I was learning. We all had tough times to get where we're at today. I did. And one night he set me down. He said, Noreen, if you ever come back upset like that again, you're not going. Because you take what you want, leave the rest there. So I learned that.
Well, I think in those days it wasn't emphasized. We didn't know that it was a family.
No.
We didn't know that it affected
the children.
Yes. Yeah, we didn't know that it affected our children or us. The focus was on the alcoholic at that time. And we thought he was, the alcoholic was the one with the problems, and we were okay. Which,
we weren't even liked too well.
Yeah, at the same time we thought we were okay, but on the other hand, we knew there was something wrong.
I'd like to say something. In that first meeting I went to in Grand Rapids, Michigan, they had the thing, and the 12 steps was, I'm powerless over an alcoholic. And Buddy, I agreed to that right away. I knew I was powerless over him. And I was looked over him up. But when I got into Al-Anon, they changed the step on me. And it took quite a while for them to push me over. Because I was powerless over him. I mean, I watched every move a man made. He used to take one breath and I knew it. And if he did something stupid, I knew it. And when he sobered up, I didn't know all that stuff. So see, I was hurting when he sobered up. I didn't know the man. And then when I got in Al-Anon, and after a couple years, I don't know where Gene remembers or Eileen remembers or not, but they had a hard time with me on that first step, admitting that I was powerless over alcohol, because I said, I'm definitely not an alcoholic. And that's what I thought it meant, but see, it wasn't. It's what alcohol done to whoever I was involved with. And I remember a hard time with that. And they always would pull me down off a pool. That's what I was, the first meeting. Now, I think maybe when you go into Al-Anon, that's why I was very careful to be careful what we say when a new person comes in, because it plants a seed. That first meeting, you get the seed planted. And I got it planted, and I had hope that it took a long time to get to where I'm at today, which I'm not well yet, and I hope I never graduate. I'll always be going down long, because now my husband's gone, and I don't have a drinking problem with my family, and of course my immediate home. I have some relatives that does. But I would use Al-Anon as a way of life, a way to live with my job and anything else that I do. And it's a good way of living.
Cool. That's great. It's unusual to find this many long-timers in one group, I think.
We felt like it was home.
We I graduated.
We knew we were
years ago, or 12 years ago.
That we kept coming back like a
normal son, didn't we?
I stayed out for 5 years.
Well, I did too.
And I was out west visiting, coming back on the airplane. I sat next to this woman, and she said, we got to talking, and she said, I have a spiritual program that I work. Well, that kind of rang a bell, but I was reluctant to pressure what it was, but somehow it came out. My higher power was there, because it came out, and finally I told her I had went to Al-Anon, but I wasn't going now, and she said, well, you need it. You get back with it. I did.
Someone asked me when my husband died, why do you go to Al-Anon now? Why do you go to AA? I said, that's all I know. That was my life for 30-some years. And it's the way of life, and it's the way I live. And my family don't understand me. They think I'm a little bit nuts, but that's all right. I got to live with Maureen, and I got to work the way I have to work it. And I love all of them. I mean, I can go any place in the United States and walk in. If they don't greet me, that's all right, because I feel like I belong there. And I know they love me. They may not. Some places are different than others, and they're not friendly. I know my husband gave a leading in Lakeland, Florida. Not Lakeland, but Deltona, Florida. And we went to that meeting for I don't know how long, and we didn't feel... You know, nobody agreed this, but it was the first, you know, the way it is in each group. And so some man asked him to give a lead, and when he gave a lead, after the meeting was over, and I'm telling him, I've got some man husband and wife, and all of them was mostly from West Virginia. So we really fit in then. But, you know, they just, it's different every place.
Well, this first of July, I will celebrate my fifth year of continuous Al-Anon. And, you know, I did drop out for a while. I got very bitter, you know, and so self-centered, and I felt I was being used. My husband knew what his program was, but he didn't teach me to live like I wanted to. So, and I got pretty sick, and I had to get some help, and the counselor told me said, you know you belong in Al-Anon. I said, yeah, I do. He said, you get back there but 3 times a week, keep your mouth shut and your ears open. So I've been going 3 times a week, and last month we started a new group here in Parksburg, a new group, and I've been told it was needed, and I did not want to take the responsibility of starting this group. But, you know, like Arlene says, your higher power sometimes I need to see you do something. And I did finally take the responsibility of getting this group started. And all the blessings. My goodness, we're having such a good time. And you know, we haven't touched our ODAP up in that meeting. We've been reading from the forums and having the best discussions, and everybody is so free. And we're getting to feelings. These people never knew what feelings were before, and they're recognizing and feelings for the first time. And they're not afraid to open up, and it's such a wonderful feeling. It's wonderful. And we started out with three, and we went as high as 14, the average is about 8 at a meeting. But we just got started. It's wonderful.
What I like about our Tuesday night is now that we divide up, and there's not as many in a group, and each one can, and we have a form that we make out, chairman, and what we're going to have a meeting on, but we don't have to have it on that. And but used to, I thought we read too much out of that book. And sometimes I think we do, that we ought to get something else in there. But I think since we split up, Jean, into four groups, that we get a lot more with the smaller.
Why don't you explain how you split up?
Well, like if it's 24, we go into four. Four.
You all meet together to start.
Yeah, we open the meeting all together and read everything and the traditions and all that. Then we split up, and each one we have a great big room, you know, so that room down there is real big. And then after this, time to close, we close on time and open on time. Then we all meet again and read the, what we're supposed to read in the form, you know, I mean in the paper. And then we say the Lord's Prayer. And I really enjoy that.
Well, the chairman will count off.
Yeah, count off, okay. Like one.
So if there's 24, we count off every fourth person. And then we go in four different groups. And it's a very small, intimate group. That way that you can really get to know people that you didn't know before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it's such a large group, like we've had maybe as high as 38, 40 people mm-hmm. at one time.
Mm-hmm. It's been done.
And you don't know, you can't meet everybody, and people are intimidated. This way, we become better acquainted and very, well, we're all sisters. We're better this way.
We got a lot of brothers in there, too.
Oh, we got, yeah, we got a lot of brothers.
Let me ask Arlene this. Arlene, have you ever been involved in service in Al-Anon?
No, I'm sorry to say I haven't.
You've chaired meetings and things like that.
Yeah, I've chaired meetings, but when the Al-Anon group was first started in Parkersburg here, I had younger children, which I stayed home with. So I wasn't free to go. My husband was involved in AA very much, so I wasn't free to take part.
You've never been a GR?
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Noreen? Have you ever been a GR?
No. I've always had the book. And I'll tell you, you really want to know why I never taken it. I had a good friend that was GR, and she went to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether you remember or not, but her husband got drunk. And I thought, Betty, that's going to happen. I'm not going because I'm not going to be there. Because I was a controller. And I think maybe back in my mind that maybe I would, I know I was a controller. And then if I got in there, I would get too involved, and my husband would get resentful, and he'd get drunk. See, that was my excuse. But we did have one person in Al-Anon in, say, West Virginia that was in New York, and her husband did get drunk because he was in it. And that was a long time ago. I don't know if Dean remembers that or not, but I do. But then I decided not to go. To be
young. It's funny how much our focus stays on the alcoholic, even if it's quite a few years.
You ask about that now, about service. I do remember I went later on the second group in 1970 or so. I did go to a lot of workshops
yeah.
and other meetings and other city, Carolina, and Parkersburg, and Charleston and Huntington district meetings.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
We used to just have two districts, and we'd go north and south to the district meetings.
But I liked the workshop.
Well, in the beginning, all the meetings were here in Parkersburg, so all along the way.
Assembly, yeah.
And I know we went to them every, the Allen on, you know, up counter, and all them places.
Let me ask you this, Jean, have you been a VR or?
I'm currently VR for the Tuesday group, that's my home group. I was alternate, for the Sunday group for a while, but, I was elected 2 years ago as VR. I also, was elected, alternate district representative, and, there was one time in my life, you know, back in the 70s, that I was elected again, a GR, but I never had the chance or was never elected. I wasn't that popular. But anyway, I really felt a little, I really wanted to do it, and I went to a lot of assemblies, and I enjoyed it, except I didn't enjoy the arguing.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that, and I thought, oh, God, these people are just such a control, you know. I can't understand it. I do now a little better, and it is better, believe me. But, you see, my husband wasn't active in his presence. He was out there, and I was hurting pretty bad, so I felt like I really, I just wasn't able to do it.
Man,
even though I wanted to.
We weren't included, really.
Well, you know, for me to be that active and go out of town a lot without my husband being, I felt like he needed to be, which is nonsense. You know, I love that. I don't need him for to do what I need to do. Today I know I do what I need to do for Gene, and he has to do what he needs to do for him. And that's the way it is.
Now that you're in service, do you find it helping your Al-Anon program?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, yeah.
How do you think it helps?
Well, you read more, and you get deeper, I think, into your traditions and the concepts and all the
deep things.
Organization, if that's not the right word, but forming and doing things that need to be done.
Structure.
Well, thank you. See, I have. But it does help you grow. It's so much a part of you that this comes first.
You know, anything that's happened in Al-Anon over the years, I'll be, that's our growing experience. Because I remember going to Bridgestone, we had a 5 year break. I went everywhere with my husband.
Yeah, that was an AA option like this.
Well, they had Al-Anon too.
They had Al-Anon speakers,
And it was such a spiritual thing. I mean, I would be so full of, I wanted to come back and just tell her what I got and everything. And I wasn't allowed to. Because most of them, a lot of their wives didn't go with their husband. And I remember coming back one time and I wanted to run a tape. And we weren't allowed to have tapes tonight. So, but that was our growing experience. I mean, everything that was wrong, and I thought, it must have been bad. I don't know, but I really enjoyed it. But my husband included me in AA and Al-Anon. I mean, any function, and I've been to all over the country to meet with him. And New York, and I've heard Al-Anon meetings. And I enjoyed it, and I grasped it. I wanted to tell about it, but I never had the opportunity. So I think maybe I was banking on the social part to go in. Be involved in this. I just thought, man, well, I'm not smart enough to get it. Somebody else out there smarter than I am, then do it.
Well, now you know you're smart enough. Now you know you're smart enough.
Now I'm too old.
I'm not.
Seven
years. You know, that's what I feel about. I'm too old for
the GRR.
Yeah. My mind don't function that good.
Well, it's not, I think the majority of members want somebody younger.
Yeah. And I love young people. I just love young folks coming out and all. I learn so much from, even now, people say, well, you've been out long. I learn from new people. And I can just see, you know, how they're growing each time you see them. They've got better. And that team is beautiful.
Well, you know what, though, what she normally sparks in my memory here is from recent years here, we have found freedom.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. From our strength we felt and our hope and everything, we have gained freedom in our thinking, our doing, our choices. We don't have to live by somebody else's choices.
When you mentioned freedom, what struck me when I came back to Al-Anon, I noticed one can be honest, and I can say what I feel. Where before, and I remember at one of our earlier groups, I was so miserable all the time, and I expressed myself as hating this or that, and it shocked some of the members. I never hated anyone or hated anything. And so I was just crushed. I can't be honest here. I can't open up. So I did.
And you know, they sent around a little thing here 4 years ago or something, you know, that we'll do it this way and we'll do it that way and you can't do this and you can't say that. And I said, wait a minute, I just got back from vacation. What are you trying to do? You're going to have everybody in shackles. You can't do that. We have 12 steps and we have 12 traditions, and if that's not enough, then we better start over. There's something wrong here.
Well, I had.
We don't need all these laws by regulations. We've got 12 steps and we've got 12 traditions, and that's all we need. Well, I need somebody telling me what I can say at a meeting and what I can't say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I get out of line, I have a chairman says, let's get this meeting back on the subject.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's all it's necessary.
Yeah.
Right?
I know for years we weren't allowed to bring any kind of literature in Al-Anon, not even the Bigfoot. Well, we don't yet bring Bigfoot. But we have several people that's in AA in Al-Anon, and so we had a chairman that was in the program and her husband's in the program, and she wanted to do it on the wives in the Bigfoot. And my heart almost quit beating. I thought, well, one of them old timers was here. But it was me, because we weren't allowed to do any of that. But really, I think that helped a little bit. But that's the only time I've ever known that any kind of literature outside of Al-Anon has ever been in our teaching night meeting, except that one time when we had the big book.
What about the early days? You said you didn't have much Al-Anon literature in those days.
Oh, we had Hazel.
Did you use big books and things like that in those days?
No. Mm-hmm. No.
A long time ago, they did.
They didn't when I first started. But in another group I go, I didn't learn the big book until after I got into another 12-step program, which is not AA or Al-Anon. And I really learned the big book. And I wish I'd been in that program at that time, because it is something. I mean, I saw it marked, and it's really something. If you really get deep down in the big book. So I remember that woman in the speaker at the conference one year out there, and she said, everybody should read the first 168 pages in it. And I don't know. But you gotta study it.
The trick is being out alone long enough to read it for me instead of for him.
Yeah, for him. Yeah, that's it. When he was living, and he was alive, and I never read it for Noreen until after he died. And I was reading it for him, you know. Oh, he's not doing that step right, or he's not doing this right. And you know, but I wasn't doing it for him. Me, I was doing it for him. Well, for a long time I did it for him. And I can understand why he didn't get the struggle, because I thought it.
For him.
And then one guy in Grand Rapids asked me one time, he said, you're jealous. I said, what do you mean I'm jealous? He said, because your husband I said, man, I'm not telling them because he's in AA. I said, gosh, I'd rather stay sober than drunk. But I was, really, deep down, when you get sore, when they got sober, you are. I mean, you went to all the meetings and all that stuff.
I never returned to the meetings.
Parents went to so many meetings, and I said one time, I said, honey, you've been sober 7 years. Why can't you enjoy us a little bit? He looked at me and he said, Maureen, I'll tell you something. You're number one, AA is number one and you're second. Well, we're bringing AA in again, but that's how it's said. He said, AA is number one and you're second. If you can take it that way, I'm going to go too. So I accepted it. I thought, well, AA is. That's the
second
I happened to
Maureen,
but
okay. Arlene, what about you on literature when you first came in? Did you all have a lot of different things? Or?
Well, we had a book about the alcoholic wife, the wife of an alcoholic from Utah. It was a green book.
Yeah.
I remember it emphasized fear, and that really fit in right with me. It said the wife of an alcoholic is full of fear. And then we had this literature from Detroit, and it was on the 12 steps and traditions, but it was more, I'd say religion-centered than our contemplative literature. And, but we still needed that personal touch, that someone that's living Al-Anon to show us the way. That's what we needed. And in time, that came about. And we're grateful to many people. We're grateful to Charleston, the Charlestons who came up and helped us in our second, the 1970s. Al-Anon group, and then we were helped greatly by Father Duffy. Now, he wasn't an alcoholic, he was a psychologist, but he was interested in helping the families. He could see there was a need there. So we received a lot of help, especially our early groups. There was a few domineering members, and was very tactful in overcoming that and bringing other members in. And he was the one that suggested a chairman of the month. Now, I don't know if you still do that in Tuesday Night Al-Anon, but he suggested that. Then another man from Pittsburgh, he was passing through on his way to Charleston, and he stopped into our Tuesday Night meeting. And he said, well, don't you have any program of what your meeting is going to be on next week? And we didn't know. And he said, well, I suggest you appoint a committee and make out a program for a year. And that way you'll have some idea what you're going to talk about. And we found out after we did that, it was easier to get someone to chair the meeting each meeting. So all in all, we received a lot of help, and it has helped Al-Anon to this day, I believe, to lay the foundation. But we were grateful to so many people for helping.
I always like to remember who those four ladies were from Charleston. They came with four of them. They had panels. The second meeting we had, first meeting we had in 1970 was at the Gospel, and next we had St. Paul's, and these four ladies and their father was there. And they were the one brought them to come, I don't remember. But I can't remember who they were. You weren't one of them, were you?
I was just, what year did they be?
1970.
No, I didn't have started in Ireland until 75.
Oh, didn't you?
I'm one of the kids today.
Oh, I'm
not on this long-timers panel yet.
Well, I remember you. You must have become active in service. Because I remember you.
Now I knew all those girls from Huntington, Alice and all them.
What was your name?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
many questions you want to ask it?
Well, you do realize that what we're doing here today is we're making a case for both the West Virginia and the World Service Archives Office, don't you?
Yeah.
And it just will be used by the World Service Office as well as it will be in the West Virginia Archives file. And also that we can play the tape and we can take things from the tape and write it down and use it that way. Is that okay with you, Arlene?
Yes.
Yeah. Could I ask you one thing?
Uh-huh.
Was it all right for me to mention my husband and yes, talk?
Well, you can go say anything you want to. I thought you said you'd learn freedom.
And I don't want to mention your husband or even in league. It's a no-no. You're doing it for you. But in my league, I got to mention my husband.
Well, you know, the thing is,
Yeah,
we don't tell their story, but
yeah.
I think we all came here for one purpose, and that was to either get somebody sober or keep somebody sober.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know I did. I've been in since 1975, and that does not qualify me for a long time, but I know that when I came, that's what I came for.
Yeah.
But after I got into it, look, I found out that for me, and I'm kind of like you, I was going to open AA meetings. And I got very envious of his program. I wanted one for me.
Yeah.
And there wasn't any Al-Anon in Logan at that time, and that's where I was living. And I'd never really heard of Al-Anon. I'd heard of AA, but not of Al-Anon. And then we started going to Charleston to open meetings, and they told me about Al-Anon. And I saw a group of happy people over there, and you know, they weren't sitting by their husband nudging them just so they'd hear what was being said. And I found out they were Al-Anons, and they were laughing and talking and having a good time, and I wanted that. So we got Al-Anon started in Logan in about late 75. And
In Logan.
I
used to have something brown when I got
and there was only about two or three of us that started that group, and I thought that the chairman was the one that had all the responsibilities, and so I said I'd be GR, and they all said, yeah, I could be GR, and the other two said, yeah, I could be GR, but I didn't know for a long time what a GR was, but I happened to get to an assembly, and they told me I was supposed to be in assembly. I came to assembly with my husband. But then they told me I was supposed to be at Al-Anon assembly. So I went to Al-Anon. And that was in Poplarville. And so I had only been in the program 3 years when I became area chairman. So that's one reason you remember me early in my program.
Yeah.
You probably thought I'd been in there a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gift God has given me to be in service from the beginning.
That's why I feel bad. I don't feel bad that I wasn't involved. Because there is some other people to come, you know, I was involved in service in a meeting. I had the first, I was the chairman of the first Al-Anon dinner we had 18 years ago. Scared to death. And my husband said, you can do it. So I did it. And, but I think more than that, I wasn't secure in my intelligence or something. I know I'm not dumb, but I mean, I didn't think I was smart enough to be able to do that. And I thought maybe he might resent it because I don't know. He probably wouldn't have, but I thought that.
Well, you know, structure isn't the only part of service.
No.
And what you're talking about, doing other things in the program, this is also service.
Yeah.
And you've been involved in workshops and
yeah.
and getting meetings started. And what more service is there than that?
Oh, we've been long beaches and popcorn, ate a lot of pies and cakes. What we missed, one of the things we missed at those times back when they first started, they used to have the meetings after the meetings and the day following the meeting. I've baked many cakes and all the coffee and have all these people at my house, and it was wonderful. I mean, you know, 20, 30 people. I don't know where I'll set them today. I wonder how they got in, but they did.
We had one.
And it was very close. I mean, this is AA and their wives, you know, and sometimes the children.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that today. We're not as close. I think it's gotten so big that some of us are not as close.
You think we're as close as AA as we used to be?
No. Well, I don't know. AA will always be close to me. I mean, I love all of them. Don't get me wrong, but AA saved my husband's life. And if he hadn't thought it, I wouldn't be where I am today. So I give AA the credit to begin with, because I've been in 10 years before I got Al-Anon. But I love Al-Anon. But I don't think it is. I think Al-Anon is sort of on a more or less worse than it used to be. Don't you?
Yes, it is. Did any of you ever see Bill or Lois Wilson? I know you said you did, Bill, but not Lois.
Don't remember. She was more than likely she was at that meeting, but I don't remember.
Okay. Did you ever see Bill or Lois?
No.
I almost saw Lois. She was coming to that rapid.
She was here in Harvard, by the way.